Isn't it great to not be accountable to anyone? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Linda Allen, who is an atheist surrounded by atheists who all felt like they weren't accountable to anyone.
You know, I remember living in my lifetime, just doing whatever I want, whenever I wanted. I really didn't have anyone to be accountable to, didn't have dad growing up. And mom would always say, if you go to a party or do something, just tell me where you're at. And
but live it up, right?
Yeah. I felt great that I could do things my friends couldn't do. But at the same time, I felt very unprotected and unsafe.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because a lot of people, it is fun or actually prefer just to live as if you don't have to give an account. Like, hey, it's my private business. Mm-hmm. What I do is my business. It has nothing to do with anyone's business. It shouldn't mean anything to anyone except to me. Mm-hmm. Life is about me.
Right.
And that was the attitude I had as definitely a former atheist. I definitely didn't believe I was going to give an account to God or to anyone else. You know, it led to this life of just sadness and depression for me.
Really?
Yeah. I just felt like so depressed all the time. And there's just really no purpose.
Well, I know that when we got married, it was hard for me because I was never accountable to anybody, even for my actions. Or in my family, if we would fight, we would not even make up. We'd just be talking the next day. And
I didn't like that.
I tried that with you. It didn't work. And then I remember I'd get in arguments. I'd say what I wanted, acted how I wanted. And you'd say, you know, one day you're going to stand before God and you'll be accountable for what you said. And I thought, oh, whatever. I was real sassy then. And then you said, do you think you're going to be able to blame me for the things you've done? And that really hit me. And I think sometimes we don't realize that we're going to be accountable to others, but also to God. And that was scary to me to say, wow, I can't blame on for my actions. I can't blame others because I got my free will to do what I want.
Well, that's really funny, you know, because, you know, being young and married, I didn't know what else to say besides that because you're killing me in our arguments. But, you know, it is true, though. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. When that revelation came to me, I grew a fear of God. And it really made me realize God's watching me all the time.
So I think it's important to realize that even if we are not accountable, we really will be. Stay tuned to hear our next guest after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Thornton Family Dentistry and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Thornton Family Dentistry is committed to providing comprehensive dental and orthodontic care to your family, treating every patient as unique and special. They offer two locations for your convenience, 2300 East 120th Avenue, just east of York Street, and 810 East 88th Avenue, just west of Washington. Call them now for an appointment at 303-254-8828. That's 303-254-8828.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Linda Allen. She grew up an atheist. It wasn't until she was 28 years old that she heard the gospel of Jesus. We're going to find out more about that. Let's welcome to the show, Linda. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So tell me about your upbringing as an atheist, about your parents and how you lived your life.
Well, my parents, my father was very abusive, not physically, but verbally. And my parents were both atheists, so I had no concept of God whatsoever. Mm. And when I got out on my own, I lived my life the way I thought I should. I had very few moral values because there was no one to answer to. Mm. And so I grew up just doing what I wanted to do.
And now, as you grew up, though your dad was verbally abusive, you ended up in a marriage where not only you were verbally abused, but you were also physically abused. Tell me about that.
That's correct. My husband was a Marine, and I was in the Navy, and we met there. He was verbally abusive when we got married, but I thought that that was okay because my dad was. Mm-hmm. And he began to beat me, and beat me severely. He broke my jaw. He broke my arm one time, broke my eardrums. Oh. When he found out that I was pregnant, he threw me down a flight of stairs and asked me whose baby it was. And I thought, that's it. I'm done. You know, if I'm stupid enough to stay here in this, that's one thing. But I'm not going to subject my child to that.
Wow. So you left that marriage, but unfortunately you ended up in a cycle of abuse. You were actually used to it. So from relationship to relationship, you ended up having four children, but still ended up with these same type of guys that were abusive.
Right.
And tell me what that's like, because I know a lot of times people stay in that cycle because it's what they know. What about you?
Well, the people that you love the most will tell you, are you stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll say things that are not helpful to you. So when you get in these relationships, you know, you're just stupid. You're just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he's telling you. You're stupid. You're ugly. You'll never find anybody else.
Right.
So he just reinforces what the people that you love say to you.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to get out of these relationships because you're afraid to be on your own because he's told you you'll never make it.
Mm.
And you believe him because, of course, he loves you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so difficult. And
I know that
you contemplated suicide. You even wrote letters to your kids.
Yes, I did.
You ended up not going through with it, but became homeless. You had four kids. You're homeless. You're in a station wagon. And at that time, you were doing drugs. You were on heroin.
Yes.
And just seems like there was just no break for you. It was just one thing after another. What were you doing the drugs for? How did you get involved with the drugs?
It was just a downhill spiral. I mean, it was offered to me. I took it because they told me that I would forget about everything. I was doing it to self-medicate, to get away from the pain that I was feeling and the hurt.
Mm.
All of the things that were going on in my life. And it did help for a little while, you know, but then you had to come down to reality and
here
you were again.
And then it left you homeless, basically. You had no money and here with your kids.
Yes.
And at that point, you were in your station wagon and the kids were hungry, but you really wanted you had that need for that heroin because you were addicted to it. Tell me about that time.
Well, I was sitting there and contemplating whether I was going to buy food for my kids or get a bump. And I heard this voice. I never heard it before, but it said, why would you even consider not feeding your children? And it was just like an epiphany. And I woke from it and I thought, that's right. Why would I? I love my kids. I don't want them to go hungry because I have no other money. So I called my mother to see if I could come home. And she said, yes. She's asked me if I was using it. And I said, no, because I wasn't at the time.
So you weren't using drugs, you told her at that time, because you didn't buy those drugs at that time.
That's right. If she had asked me 8 hours prior to that, I would have said yes. So she sent me $20, enough to fill up my gas tank and head out. And I used up that $20 and have to call her and get more, another $20 to be able to feed my kids. And she did that until I got home because she didn't trust me with the money. So when I got home, it was very, very late, very early in the morning. And she came into my room that next morning and asked me if I wanted to go to church with her.
Now, were you shocked because your mom was an atheist as far as you knew?
Yes.
And all of a sudden she's asking you about church. What did you think?
Yeah, whoa.
Well, I was not very nice. I cursed her and I laid back down to go to sleep. And once again, that voice said, your mother just paid for your way to come up here. Are you going to treat her that way?
Wow.
Well, I threw back the covers and I said, all right. And I went to church.
Oh.
And that morning I got saved, I got baptized, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost the same day.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, God had a plan for my life.
And let's talk about that. I mean, somebody might listening saying, well, what does that mean? So like, you go to church. Tell me what happened when you're at the church.
When I was at the church, I saw people hugging each other. black and white and Chinese all living together in harmony. It was just amazing. People with mink coats hugging on people that were drooling. I mean, it just, I thought, what kind of place is this? The pastor came out and there was this glow around him. And I thought, oh, how cool is that? That's a great lighting system. Like this little aura around him.
Wow.
And he began to preach on how much God loved us. And that he sent Jesus, his only son, to die for. And he was looking right at me in the church of 3,000 and pointing his finger right at me.
Wow.
And he gave an altar call and they sang, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." I white knuckled that pew in front of me. And the next thing I know, I was up at the altar. I don't know how I got there, but I got there.
Wow.
And I said the sinner's prayer and went back and they talked to us about what it meant that we got saved. And then they asked us if we wanted to be baptized.
So tell me about, real quick, how you've changed since you've received Jesus.
My life has been just a complete turnaround. I started working in the church. I ran shelters for abused women and children. I did street ministries down in a place called Eloise, Florida, which was big, high drug traffic, high area of prostitution.
And you were free from addiction yourself. No more desire for heroin.
Mm-mm.
And you had the love of God.
I got delivered that night. Yes. I mean, it was so amazing. I didn't curse anymore. I didn't do any of the things that I did anymore.
That's amazing.
No desire for drugs. God delivered me completely, totally, wholly.
Wow.
Like I said, he had a plan for my life.
That's powerful. And there are people listening too right now who are saying, you know what? I am an atheist or I'm agnostic. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I believe. And they want to know if God is real. And what's amazing to me is God started to speak to you and you didn't even know what that voice was.
That's right. And before I even knew who he was.
Yes. Yeah, so people are listening to this. And if they don't know who he is, this is God speaking to you through this show saying, I love you. And he's calling them to him right now. And as he took care of you, he's going to take care of them.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He says that we're knit together in our mother's womb. And he knew us before we were even born.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved us even then.
Amen.
We're his children. And if you have children, you know how much you love your kids.
Yep.
You wouldn't do anything bad for them. You'd give them every good thing. And that's what it says.
That's
every
right.
Every good and perfect gift is from above.
Amen. Well, we're going to pray for our guests right now who need Jesus. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us and how God set you free and brought you from atheism to Jesus.
Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for what you've done in Linda's life. And I think there's someone listening even right now and saying, I'm not sure if this Jesus is real or does he care about me? And the truth is, just as that preacher was saying, is that God loves you. He died for you and he is real and he's speaking to you right now. Jesus, we just ask you, as you're speaking to us, to come into our lives and to give us that same power that you gave Linda, even now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.